Wednesday and Thursday night saw 20 Democrats vying for the presidential nomination of their party by trying to offer more free stuff than the others. They backed open borders, more abortions, 70% tax rates, appeasement with Iran, and other far-left ideas. It is hilarious to hear a Democrat who's been in Congress for decades and is a multi-millionaire talk about income inequality. I speak of this from press reports because I did not watch them. There were more important things to do, like watching paint dry. Once this herd of jackasses kick each other off one by one and get it down to two BS artists, I will again pay attention. How hard do you think somebody is going to work when government is set to take 70% of their income for taxes, to spread around on illegal immigrants, paid abortions, and such drivel? That 70%, by the way, does not include property taxes, state taxes, gas taxes, and other hands in your pocket. Anybody who is proud of these 20 candidates who want to buy your vote using other people's money is akin to a possum who drags off what other people kill. My research today credits Jeffrey Folks of American Thinker and Trevor Loudon for their contributions. It is no secret that the average, ordinary American hears about dangers facing their country, but doesn't want to see it or deal with it. Instead, they naively bury their heads in the sand and hope the dangers will go away. The mainstream media's extreme bias in reporting the news has turned off a great many Americans, and they have simply tuned out. Major newspapers like the New York Times and Washington Post are losing subscribers faster than feathers falling from Elizabeth Warren's Indian war bonnet. We are turning a deaf ear to the plans of socialism and communism to bankrupt the United States. To dominate our country, they must take away the resources we need to defend against them. That's why the idea of paying billions in reparations to people who were never slaves by taking that money from people who were never slave owners is gaining ground. Promoted by the same Democratic Party that endorsed slavery, fought to keep the slaves in bondage, and formed a hooded group of Klansmen and women to terrorize black slaves and their white sympathizers in the Republican Party in order to keep them on the newly formed Democratic political plantation, to keep them dependent on government. If you do that, they will vote for Democrats for the next 200 years. That was said by Democrat President Lyndon Johnson, one of the greatest racists in American history. That's also why we see these huge caravans of illegal immigrants invading our southern border, while the Democratic Party blocks all efforts by the president to stop it. Democrats see these illegal aliens as potential voters for their party. The devastating costs of this invasion of our country seems to mean little or nothing to Democrat leadership. That cost is clearly unsustainable. It's why John Kerry and Barack Hussein Obama are advising Iranian leaders on how to oppose their own president. Conflict with Iran would result in mammoth costs for our economy. Democrats would use any conflict with Iran for political gain. Never mind that Iran just shot down a U.S. drone over international waters at a cost of more than $150 million and then taunted the United States about their destruction of U.S. property. The Iranian Ayatollah and his mouthpieces say they're ready for war against America. John Kerry's advice and counsel to Iran is traitorous. While Kerry's counsel for Iran may cost our country in dollars, it would cost Iran in lives lost. Iran is as prepared for war against the United States might as Ocasio-Cortez is to shut her pie hole. Like Andy Taylor told Barney Fife about fighting with Ernest T. Bass, he'll kill you. Democratic socialists push Medicare for all, including illegal aliens, without concern for the enormous, unsustainable cost. They have created incentives for these illegal alien caravans to hunger for, and that entices them to break our laws to get here. All of this and other democratic government programs combine to eventually bankrupt us. Not in another 100 years, but in our generation. The left has already socialized America's education system, with SAT scores declining since their peak in 1964 and declining markedly since 2006. From what was traditionally local schools governed by local school boards, the American system of education became increasingly regulated by government, beginning in the 1960s, as stipulations on curricula, standards, and the treatment of race and sex were attached to the explosive rise in federal funding of education. By shifting funds away from state and local sources, the federal government was able to gain control of nearly every aspect of public education. At the center of the socialist movement is the demand for Medicare for All as the solution. Medicare for All is a disarmingly neutral phrase, but it masks a plan for the elimination and outlawing of private health insurance. This would mean government control of the entire process of treatment, including office visits, hospitalization, emergency care, and drug delivery. We've seen how government care has worked in our VA hospitals. It is as inefficient as trying to race a pony in the Kentucky Derby. With Medicare, Medicaid, and Obamacare already serving 116.5 million patients, this process is well underway. But a complete takeover would transform expectations about standards and timeliness of care. Imagine calling Health and Human Resources to schedule a heart bypass operation and finding yourself on an endless menu runaround. That is the reality of Medicare for All. The financial crisis of 2008 made possible a vast expansion in federal control of the financial sector, along with the automotive and housing sectors. Financial firms were forced to accept bailouts to which strident conditions were attached. Many of those conditions are still in place, and radicals like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez advocate the renewal of affordable housing policies such as loan quotas for low-income and illegal alien borrowers, the same behavior that caused the financial crisis to begin with. Another major sector of our economy, ripe for picking as socialists see it, is energy. The new Green Deal has nothing to do with saving the earth and everything to do with government takeover of the energy sector. Obama attempted this takeover via EPA, Fish and Wildlife, Interior, and other agency regulation that shut down leasing of mineral rights on federal lands and on vast areas of private lands. Now, radical Democrats want a more direct takeover of the energy sector by mandating the elimination of fossil fuels by 2030. Under this plan, government will be empowered to dictate exactly what sources of energy every American would be permitted to employ, and in what amounts, they can employ them. Supporters have not considered the fact that this new Green Deal would eliminate most sources of electricity, along with nearly all cars, trucks, trains, and planes now in operation. Apparently, they are smitten with the idea of a bicycle utopia straight out of Amsterdam. Most Americans will find it difficult to cycle to work. Forget visiting London, unless either you have amazing scuba gear or you can hold your breath for weeks. With the election of Democrats across the board in 2020, America would become a fully socialist country. Not at all different from all socialist and communist countries of the past or present. Socialism means not just control of the economy. It means the annulment of all of our freedoms. This includes revocation of the Second Amendment, universal government-funded abortion, elimination of the Christian religion from the public sphere. Not Islam, because the socialists are afraid to go after Muslims. Expansion of hate speech laws as defined by liberals and other forms of censorship. Use of the IRS, the FBI, and other agencies to suppress political opposition. Expansion of the EPA, the Fish and Wildlife, and other environmental agencies to control land use and restrict property rights. Confiscation of wealth via taxation of 70% or more, and other assaults on the freedoms we enjoy. Is there any substantive difference between the scenario and communism as it existed in the Soviet Union, communist Cuba, and socialist Venezuela? That being the case, why not label Bernie's socialism for what it is? What Democrats have in mind in 2020, all of them from Bernie to Beto with Kamala, Cory, and Biden, is closer to Maduro's Venezuela than it is to the democratic capitalism that Americans have enjoyed in the past. It is not a benign form of government that's helping, as leftists like to portray it. You know, things like, you didn't build that, government built it for you. So why would you oppose more government help? Smiley-faced socialism is not so smiley when an armed federal agent comes to your door demanding a handover of your assets or your land or the re-education of your children. The difference between socialism and communism is just a matter of semantics. Like Bernie and the rest in 2020, Obama promised free health care with total choice. What he delivered was little choice. Higher costs and mandates forcing everyone to purchase health insurance. Under communism, there are far more mandates, but they are not at all different from what Obama delivered with the Affordable Care Act. Orders are issued, and they are followed, and they are enforced by armed federal agents. No mistake, if the American people choose a Democratic president for 2020, we will become a socialist nation. Perhaps the American people are tired of making the effort required by capitalism. Perhaps they are tired of arguing with the left over issues such as health care and free education. Perhaps they just want to give in and let the socialists have their way. If they do so, it will enslave our country for the next 100 years and beyond. The truth is that socialism does not deliver equality. It only delivers poverty and oppression. Democratic socialism soon becomes less than democratic, and its economy offers only rationing for the poor and special privileges for the political class, particularly the dictator and his military. Medicare for all would deliver not Medicare as we know it, but a degraded version of Medicare. All would have to accept it, including seniors who had previously benefited from at least some access to health care. What Democrats have in mind in 2020 is not smiley-faced socialism. It is hardcore collectivism enforced by armed government agents. 2020 will be a critical election because it will reveal the direction that Americans really want to take. For decades, Bernie Sanders has proclaimed that he is a socialist. But is he also a communist? A common definition of communism is a system in which all means of production are owned and all workers are employed by the state. A familiar definition of socialism is a system in which all means of production are owned and regulated by the state, and all workers, therefore, are employed or regulated by the state. Except for the qualification of owned or regulated, there is no difference between communism and socialism. Some might view socialism as communism light, but there is nothing light about the government takeover of all major industries that Bernie and other leading Democrats advocate. As Trevor Loudon pointed out, a move that could have major implications for American politics, the leading socialist and communist organizations in the United States have formally allied to increase their infiltration and manipulation of the Democratic Party. The Communist Party, USA, the Democratic Socialists of America, Freedom Road Socialist Organization, Left Roots, and others held an event last year to ally around the idea of building power inside and outside the Democratic Party. They laid out a bold plan by America's leading communist groups to massively expand their collective influence both inside and outside the Democratic Party. They went on to propose better coordination among America's largest Marxist organizations, to increase infiltration of the Democratic Party, and to further pressure it from the outside through mass protest action. They described the Communist Socialist Alliance as a left trend. To those who think this could never be done in America, look how easy it was for Barack Hussein Obama to infiltrate his administration and our government with hardcore members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Look at how the mainstream media looked the other way when Obama backed the Muslim Brotherhood in a takeover of the Egyptian government. It was only after the Egyptian people realized what had happened to them, with Obama's help, that they rose up to throw Morsi out of the presidency. Take a look at how the mainstream media covered for Obama when he shipped billions of dollars to Iran, the greatest exporter of terror in the Middle East. Don't think that money didn't go for Iran's support of Islamic terrorism. And who considers it a coincidence that both Obama and Hillary Clinton chose militant Muslim women as their closest advisors? Iran says it's ready for war with the United States. Do you think they'll use any of those hundreds of billions of dollars that Obama gave them against our country? Broadly speaking, there are two lefts in America. One side is the anti-democratic party left, which consists of the Revolutionary Communist Party, Socialist Alternatives, Socialist Party USA, Party for Socialism and Liberation, Party of Communists USA, and so on. On the other side are groups willing to work inside the Democratic Party, that is, those signing on to the strategy I've outlined for you. As you can see, there are several of these anti-American groups already here, already among us. These organizations are not to be underestimated. Separately, All of these groups are dangerous. Together, they have potential disaster. For example, Communist Party USA claims about 5,000 members, but its support base is much wider. Many Communist Party USA leaders are also Democrats. None of them are Republicans. Examples include Houston Communist Party Chairman Bernard Sampson, local Democratic Party Precinct Chairman and Ohio Communist Party Chairman Rick Nagin, who serves on the Cuyahoga County Democratic Executive Committee. This party is strong in organized labor, in black churches, and in the so-called peace movement. Communist Party USA strongholds include New York City, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and St. Louis, Arizona, California, and Texas. They are aligned with China, Cuba, Vietnam, Venezuela, and the Communist Parties of Russia, Britain, Canada, Mexico, Iraq, and Iran. Democratic Socialists of America is the giant of the bunch. On the back of the Bernie Sanders movement, this party has grown from 6,000 to upwards of 50,000 dues-paying members in less than 2 years. This socialist organization has locals in every state except South Dakota. The party of FDR, Harry Truman, and JFK is rapidly becoming the party of Marx, Lenin, and Mao. Do you know what's so sad about what I just said? Our education system leaves our children without knowledge of who FDR, Harry Truman, and JFK even were. And Marx, Lenin, and Mao are not names they even recognize. Going to the polls in 2020 are voters who are filled with emotion instead of logic. They will be opposed by conservatives who value freedom and liberty in this country. Which side will have a greater turnout? That's going to be the key. In 2020, will you be the one who thought your vote didn't matter and so you stayed at home? Or will you be among those that denied the socialists, communists, amateur snowflakes, and the Holly Weird crowd a victory? Your fate is in your own hands. Donald Trump may not be as tactful as the welcome wagon lady, but he loves this country. He sees the danger of a Democratic Party that has been hijacked by people who wish to destroy us. And he's been willing to carry our flag into battle against them. Will you fight with him or fold up like a cheap umbrella in a stiff wind? Many years ago, when Democrats were sucking up to Donald Trump to get money for their campaigns, Hillary Clinton actually observed that she wished Trump would run for president because he was honest and he could not be bought. Democratic elites flocked to Trump like seagulls on a biscuit. Today, they treat the same man like the devil himself. Who changed, Trump or the Democrats? I dislike a two-faced person. Say what you mean and mean what you say. That applies to Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, blacks and whites, and rabid feminists. We have become a country of backstabbing blowhards. The division between us is deep and deeply troubling. Even when Iran recently shot down an unmasked U.S. drone, there were Democrats scurrying to TV cameras to offer excuses for them. Democrats, including John Kerry and Barack Hussein Obama, have traveled to Iran to personally advise the Ayatollah on how to deal with the President of the United States. They would love to see Iran provoke Trump into striking back. But, to his credit, Trump has seen through these traitors and refused to light the fuse for them. Did you see where Democrat Maxine Waters listened to Iran say where the drone was and listened to the United States say the drone was before it was shot down? And without any proof whatsoever, Maxine Waters sided with Iran. She said the drone was over Iranian territory. She has no way of knowing that. Nobody can say that Donald Trump is afraid to fight. But he is cautious about risking American lives and also concerned about innocent Iranians who would be caught in the crossfire. That took the Democrats by surprise. They had labeled him a loose cannon who'd prefer war, the same as they did with Ronald Reagan. Democrats say that Trump incites racism and bigotry. What he incites is the racism and bigotry of Democrats and the lamestream media, because he will not meekly submit to their lives. And so, socialism is trending in America. Politicians once ran from the term. Now they embrace it. And polls show younger people favoring it. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democrat from New York, won a seat in Congress by promising free health care to all, free college tuition, and something called climate justice. According to her Green New Deal, climate justice includes a government-guaranteed basic income for everybody, including those who are unwilling to work. Unfortunately, something-for-nothing socialist rhetoric has a strong appeal. Vermont's Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders never held a job outside of politics, and as a young man was kicked out of a hippie commune because he was too lazy to work. He's a self-professed socialist who can never find enough free stuff from other people to give away. A Gallup poll found more than half of America's young people have a positive view of socialism. So why is socialism gaining popularity? Part of the reason lies in our schools. Socialism has failed everywhere it's been tried, from the former Soviet Union, Cuba, Venezuela, and Mao's China, and it has killed tens of millions through violence and starvation in the process. And yet, students get little of that history today. Instead, they are often taught the evils of capitalism, that it creates inequality, rewards the privileged few at the expense of the many, and is an engine of oppression and exploitation of the masses. This perverse indoctrination is echoed and amplified in the mainstream media and in classrooms across America. Our country is changing. It has already changed greatly. And we, who value our freedom, must fight back. I thank you for listening today. We have so many things happening in our country. I can't speak to all of them. I try to speak to most. But I do thank you for having the backbone to try to get the truth about what's happening in our country and in our world. Again, thanks for listening. You can contact me by sending me email at comments@tomjoyner.net. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station.